Radio.
A conversation with the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia at the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015, held at the Adelaide Convention Centre.
So this afternoon we've got an opportunity to have a chat with the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia. These conversation times is just really a bit of a time for us to open up and ask them anything that you've ever wanted to ask a Dominican Sister of St. Cecilia, or any sister, in fact. The Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia originally come from Nashville in Tennessee. They might be able to sing you a country western number if you ask them, I don't know. They came to Australia in 2007 and established a convent in Western Sydney during this time. So I'm really pleased to welcome Sister Mary Magdalene, who's with us, and Sister Cecilia Rose. Let's give them a round of applause. Yeah. So just first of all, do you guys want to introduce yourselves, where you grew up, and maybe a little bit about your family life, you know, where, how many brothers and sisters you have, or things like that?
All right. I'm Sister Mary Magdalene. I'm originally from Louisiana in the States. So it's a southern state by huge Texas, if you know where Texas is. Yeah. I'm the middle of three girls. Grew up on a farm, so that was a lot of fun. Out in the middle of nowhere. Went to Catholic school. Always grew up Catholic, but took my faith for granted for most of my childhood. And actually went on a service trip to Mexico and had a real change of heart, real enlivening of my faith right after high school. So that kind of set me on my path towards my vocation as a sister. So that's a bit of my story.
Hi, I'm Sister Cecilia Rose. I was born in Australia. I grew up in Western Sydney in a place called Plumpton. And yeah. And I'm the oldest of four. We grew up in a Vietnamese Catholic family. And I have one of my brothers is a Franciscan Capuchin. He's probably over at the store right now. If you see him, tell him I said hi. And I worked as a registered nurse before I became a sister. And I did some youth ministry as well.
Fantastic. Now, in terms of the two of you, you're both living in Western Sydney now? Excellent. What would you say is probably one of the biggest challenges that young people face today?
In my limited experience, of being a young person myself, I think one of the challenges for us as young people is to be open about our faith, to have the confidence to tell people what we believe, because there's a lot of stuff out there telling you what you should do with your life. And, you know, Coca-Cola tells you that happiness is found in a bottle. There's a lot of stuff out there that's very confusing. And so I think one of the challenges for us as young people is to switch off the TV and disconnect for a little while with the internet so that we can really connect with what's real out there, which is God. I think that's a huge challenge. Yeah.
Excellent. We've got Sister Mary Rachel, who's just joined us. Everyone say hi, Sister Mary Rachel.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here.
She's running from session to session, and if you've ever seen a flying nun, well, here she is. So welcome.
Thank you.
We're just talking about what you think. We're starting off with something light. What are the biggest challenges for young people today?
I think I heard something about noise.
Disconnecting,
yeah. I think a big challenge. I was just in the session before, and we were talking about these students who are in high school, and how they're trying right now to come to know their gifts and really who they are. And I was so edified by them, because I think that sometimes for young people, they don't know what's happening here. Not just young people, a lot of people, huh? We don't know what's happening in our hearts. And then we don't know who we are. And so we try to be all kinds of things, and then we spend a whole lot of years undoing that and trying to find out who we are. So I think for young people, a big challenge is just knowing who they are and God's great love for them, and what their gifts are and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's a big challenge.
Okay, now we've got some time to throw open to you if you've got any questions. We've got a microphone here, or if you want to just raise your hand, we can repeat the question for you. What have you always wanted to ask a sister?
Hi, sisters. Unfortunately, I was late, so I'm not sure if you've already touched on this, but could you maybe explain a little bit about the sisterhood that you're a part of and how it differs from perhaps some of the others that we might have heard about as well?
So we're Dominican sisters. So we follow St. Dominic, the life of and charism, the gift that St. Dominic had to the church. St. Dominic was a man of the Middle Ages, so we're celebrating our 800-year anniversary, Jubilee, this year. And the whole impetus of his giving his life to God and the Dominican order is this idea of the goodness of the human person, right, and our need for truth. So the Dominican charism finds itself oftentimes in the realm of education, university life, but it really covers all aspects because there's a great respect for the human person, right, for their freedom and for their ability to come to know truth. Our world today is steeped in this, what we call moral relativism, right? That what's good for you might not be good for me, and what's true for you might not be true for me. But the Dominican, the Catholic understanding is that there's one truth, and his name is Jesus Christ, right? And so that is our life, is proclaiming that truth is a person. It's not just an intellectual concept, but a person to be known and loved. So we sisters teach in primary schools, high schools, university, we minister in university chaplaincies. The human person is our life. So do you have things to add?
So one of the Dominican mottos is to contemplate and give to others the fruit of contemplation. So we live a life of prayer and of preaching. And as Sister was saying, whether it's teaching or at the university. So there's a beautiful balance of, I often think of it as an ocean wave. You know, like we meet the Lord, and then through meeting him in scripture and in the mass, then we take his love and his truth out to the people. And then whatever we encounter in the day and in their lives, sufferings and joys, we take back to the Lord. And we live a life, it's a monastic custom, so times of prayer, times of silence, and that's something that we had to get used to, actually, of learning how to live that silence. So, and then strong community life. We do a lot together. Play sport together and games together. And yeah, I think that's probably good.
And maybe Sister Cecilia could add to that then. What does like an average day look like?
All right, so an average day for us starts at 5 in the morning and finishes at about 10 o'clock at night. So it's a full day. A regular day in the life of a sister who's a teacher begins at in the morning with rising, and then we have about half an hour to get together, get ourselves down to the chapel. We spend time in meditation as a community in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and we pray the prayers of the church, so the divine office. And we also have community prayers, like other prayers that we say, morning offering and whatnot, and the Angelus. We also then go off to Mass, because that's the most important part of our day, is knowing the Lord Jesus through the Blessed Sacrament. And after that, we come back to the convent and we have breakfast together as a community. And then we go off into the apostolate of teaching or to the chaplaincy. And throughout the day, we're ministering to the people that we serve. And come back in the evening, in the afternoon, for more prayers of the church. And we also pray the rosary. As Dominicans, we pray the rosary every day. And then we have a meal together. And often, because of our monastic life as well, we have these meals in silence. So we listen to a reading of scripture or a spiritual reading from a book because of the idea of receiving spiritual nourishment as you are feeding your body. Nourishing your body as well. So we do that. And then we have some time, what we call recreation, for about an hour in the evening, which is like family time, you know. We just kind of catch up during the day, enjoy each other's company. And then night prayers and then preparations for the next day or whatever, and then off to bed again, and then to rise again to do the same. Yeah.
The next day.
It's pretty regular, but yeah.
Another question? Yeah.
What was the hardest part about becoming a sister?
Probably the hardest part is leaving your family. Religious life means that there's a time that you leave for your formation. And it's what Jesus had asked of when he called the apostles. You know, he said, come and follow me and leave behind things. So there's a sacrifice that's involved. And that sacrifice, probably the biggest thing for a lot of us, the biggest part of that sacrifice is leaving our families. And but we don't just leave and it's all sad. We're leaving to go to be in this new life. And that gives us the grace to say yes to him and to do it joyfully, even though there's tears involved. But we, through the confidence of saying, oh, wow, Lord, you're calling me to be with you, I'm willing to make that sacrifice. It's a big sacrifice for our families, too. But the Lord pours graces down through that sacrifice. So, yeah, probably for a lot of us, it's the sacrifice of leaving our families. We're still in contact with them, but not daily contact.
I don't really have anything. It is family that is the most difficult. But like Sister said, an abundance of grace comes to you, not only you, but your family as well. So most of our families, while they miss us, are very grateful for our calling. So the Lord is not outdone, you know, in his generosity in that respect. On a practical level, 5 is really difficult to wake up. The wake-up time is early.
Another question? Okay, so the question just for the recording is that if they could share, one of them could share their vocational calling story.
Okay. So I'm Australian. I'm a Vietnamese-Australian. And my calling... Whoa! I grew up in a Vietnamese Catholic family in Western Sydney. I'm the eldest of 4. I'm the only girl. So it was hammered into me that I have responsibility and I must achieve in uni. So I must be either a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, you know, the stereotype. Yeah. And so there's a lot of pressure there. So when I went through my education, Catholic education, co-ed, all the way through, kindy through year 12. I went to Sunday Mass. I did church stuff because Mum and Dad said I had to. And so I did that. That's how diligent I was at being Catholic. And it was in uni that I was challenged by a classmate who came up to me and said, why are you Catholic? And my response was, because my mom said I am. And here I am at, you know, 20 years old saying, because my mom said I am. And I heard myself and I thought, oh, that's very poor. That's a very poor response. I'm putting it delicately. And so I was challenged to own up to why I called myself Catholic. It was just a custom, a tradition. So I studied nursing. And as I was working with people, caring for people who were dying, caring for people who were recovering from illness, big questions started to pop up like, what is the meaning of life? How can I live a life that is happy and fulfilled? And what can I do to make a difference in the world? As a young Catholic person. And so I gave the Lord an ultimatum. You shouldn't do this, but I did it. And I said, Lord, if you want me to be a nurse and pursue this career in nursing, please make it my vocation because I want it to have meaning and purpose I don't want it just to be something that helps me pay the bills or just something that makes me feel good about myself because I'm in a position of leadership. So I didn't want nursing to be just that. The Lord gave me an opportunity to spend a year volunteering for the church. So I joined a youth ministry team in Sydney, and I went to schools and high schools to do retreats for young people to share my faith with them. And as I shared my faith, I had to learn it. I had to know what I was talking about, you know. And it made me grow in my faith. And as I grew, it brought me happiness. And I felt more fulfilled. And so I thought, Lord, I'm searching for my vocation. I know I like to serve people. I like to serve the church. How can I do this for the rest of my life? Because it gives me so much joy. And then at World Youth Day in 2008, I met our sisters. And I thought, oh, no. I think I found what I'm looking for. It was frightening at first, but there was a thrill. There was a thrill of excitement because I finally found what I've been waiting and looking for. And so it began, a journey began of submitting to the Lord's will, to all the opportunities that He presented. Like, I didn't have to go searching too far because the Lord presented all these opportunities to me, which was really overwhelming because for someone who didn't believe that she was loved by the Lord so much, all these gifts and opportunities to follow Him were being presented to me. And I thought, Lord, how can I not repay You for Your goodness to me? How can I not give the rest of my life to You who are good to me all the time? And so I pursued my question of, am I being called to this particular community? And ever since then, I'm living the dream.
Amen. Fantastic. Any other questions?
Are there moments in your day where you think, yes, this is my vocation, like this, it really makes you excited about being professed religious?
Definitely. And I think those are important to pay attention to because they're strengths and consolations that the Lord gives. And I think they're probably different for each person and each personality and different for each, probably each charism. If you're discerning, it's important to pay attention to where are your moments in your life where you're most alive, because the Lord is speaking there. Okay, so that's just point of discernment. But for me, probably because I'm a teacher, the times when it doesn't just happen in the classroom, it happens at events like this. But when I'm with a young person and either they have a question or something that they have come to the Lord, either it's something that they're learning in the classroom or something about their lives. And those are the days when I just, like Sister was saying, when I go, absolutely living the dream. So there's two sides to it, though, because there's that. But then there's times at the end of the day when the only thing in the chapel are the lit candles. And I go, okay, Lord, I am just here with You. And nothing else in the world matters but that I'm there with Him at the end of the day. And that is the other part of living the dream. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, this time has just flown by in terms of our chat already. She's like, already, yes. So I thought I might hand over to you guys to say just, you know, any final words that you want to, and maybe just if people want to learn more about the order or if they're interested in having you come out to their communities or any resources or things that you have, are there any final words that you want to share with us?
Okay. Well, you can always come visit our stall if you haven't been there. It's just around the corner on this side. We have a great holy cord. we're based in Sydney, but we do come from time to time, come out and help different groups with talks, or we do have women's retreats.
I wouldn't worry. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, okay. we have a great website if anybody's interested for more. It's NashvilleDominican.org. It has great stuff down there. We are on social media. I'm going to pass it over to you now.
Okay, the other thing I was thinking is this is the 800th year of the Dominican Order. That doesn't just mean the Dominicans are celebrating. It means that Jesus gave a gift to the church through the life of St. Dominic and Dominican saints. So it means that you, too, are part of the gifts that the Lord is giving, he's given to you. So maybe this year, even learning about St. Dominic, St. Martin de Porres, Blessed Juan, Macias, whoever, just look up some Dominican saints and come to know what is the gift that the Lord has given to the church through the Dominican Order. Not to be like this, yeah, look at us, but to say, look at the Holy Spirit has given these gifts for 800 years. So that's a good thing to look up. And then also, do not be afraid. The Lord loves you. He's got a plan. He's working it out. But daily, you need to meet him faithfully in prayer. He's waiting, and he'll let you know. So daily, meet him and listen. Listen to his love for you, okay? And have great confidence in him. If there's time, we thought we might just sing one little song.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're just going to conclude with a song. We're called Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia. And St. Cecilia was a virgin martyr early on in the church. One of our sisters wrote this song. St. Cecilia was called to give her life for Jesus. And you could look up her life. But this song is about how she wanted her heart to remain immaculate for Jesus. Okay, but even to the point of giving her life. And so she was actually beheaded, and that's why you'll hear the words about a sword. Okay, maybe when we pray this, or sing this, we can pray it and pray that we do okay with it. We're used to having more sisters singing with us. Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
While the music plays, Cecilia prays. In her heart to her God, while the darkness raged, Cecilia sang, make my heart immaculate that I may not be confounded, Lord. That I may not fear even the sword.
With conscience pure
and faith sincere,
I wait with joy
for my bridegroom is drawing near. Christ, Lord of life, perfect Lamb, sacrifice, all I am is thine, receive me now.
While the music played, Cecilia sang. In her heart
to her God, while the darkness raged, Cecilia prayed, make my heart immaculate that I may not be confounded, Lord.
That I may not fear
even the sword.
With conscience pure
and faith sincere,
I wait with joy
for my bridegroom is drawing near.
St. Cecilia, pray for us. St. Dominic, pray for us. And all our patron saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you. God bless you.
That was a conversation with the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia. This conversation is from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015 and is recorded as a collaboration between XT3 and Cradio. And for more from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival, and for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.